Welcome to the Dr. Wyatt Show podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Wyatt Fisher, a licensed psychologist specializing in couples counseling. To develop better communication so that you have more love and less conflicts, download my app today, Keep the Glow, wherever you get your apps. Today, we're going to focus on how to make sex more fun for couples. We have a guest with us, Dan Purcell. And Dan is the founder of Get Your Marriage On. He's been married for 19 years, has six kids, which I can't imagine. I have four. And so we're going to pick Dan's brain, see what thoughts he has. And let me turn it over to Dan. Dan, welcome to the Dr. Wyatt Show podcast.
Great. It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. So maybe we can start with your story, your background. What? Tell me just whatever you want the listeners to know about where you've been, your journey, and how you got to where you are now.
My wife and I both come from, I guess you could say, really good families, conservative Christian backgrounds, and typical of those kinds of homes in this culture, sex isn't talked about a lot. And if it was talked about, it was about reproductive biology or the thou shalt not talk, but not a lot about like how to make sex great or amazing. A lot of those details were not shared with us. And I remember being really anxious about sex leading up to marriage. And in fact, on our wedding night, we're in the hotel. We're just so excited. And we undress. And anyway, long story short, my body didn't do what I thought it would do. And I'm like, all the love song lyrics say you make love all night long. Like, how in the world is this supposed to happen? Like, anyway, I look back, I laugh about it. But like, there's a lot that we both didn't know. Mm. And I remember we were both university students at the time. And I looked up, I went to the university library. I'm at the computer terminal. And like, I need to learn more about sex. But I'm really scared about what might come up. But I figured, maybe if it's a textbook on human sexuality, I'll probably be fine. Mm-hmm. So I found a book and I go to that section of the library on the third floor and I make sure no one's around. Like, I shift my eyes right and left and I find the book and I quickly tuck it under my arm and I don't make eye contact with the woman that's like scanning the book, checking me out because I'm so self-conscious about this topic. Like, anyway, so I go home and I'm nervous. My hands are shaking as I like open up the book and like, okay, maybe somewhere in here I'll have answers to my questions because I had lots of questions about sex and I didn't know where to turn to. In fact, I didn't even know if what I was doing was okay. Mm. So I remember flipping through the books, just flipping through just to get the lay of the land or whatever. And there's an illustration of a man and a woman having sex. And I thought, oh no, this is pornography. I'm not supposed to look at this. So I shut the book and I returned it the next day. And so I guess that kind of like, we kind of had this anxiety about sexual things. And it's not that we didn't enjoy sex. We enjoyed sex. It's just, we didn't have any models to go off of. So for us, it always looked like in the dark, 10 minutes missionary position, and you're done, because that's pretty much the mental model we had. And we kind of lived that way for a long time. Didn't think anything was wrong. Didn't have any issues really around that.
Sure.
Until I've been married over 13 years and I was having a conversation with a friend. And he opened up to me about his sex life. Now, in the past, I would have like shut that conversation down or whatever. And I was blushing and everything like that. But he started sharing with me some of the things he and his wife are doing in bed, like some details. And I guess you could say I had morbid curiosity. It's like, ooh, gross. Wait, tell me more. Uh-huh. And he'd tell me about the things they're doing and the fun they're having. They find bedroom games on Amazon and they play them together and they find these websites that have detailed like step-by-step how to on how to do different things and sex position websites. And I'm like, really? Like, this is a good man. Like, you're okay. This is allowed. Like, people actually do these things. Really? This is okay? Because I wouldn't even Google my sex questions because I didn't know what's going to come up. Nah. The reason why he was telling me these things isn't to brag or anything like that. He was really sincere. He's like, Dan, once my wife and I really worked on our sexual relationship, our marriage just took off. Like, it's so much better than ever. Like, we're communicating better. We parent together better. Just, you know, everything in life is better.
Yeah.
And I could just see in him that he had something that I didn't have, and I wanted that. But I had to confront my own like insecurities about the whole topic of sexuality, just something that's really taboo and whatever. So I remember going home to that night, kids are in bed, my wife and I are in the bedroom, and I say, hey, I had this conversation with a friend today, and I want to tell you about it, but I want to know what you think. And I remember feeling so vulnerable, like, because now I'm self-conscious, like, what is my wife's experience having sex with me? Am I a good lover? Did you know that there's more out there that's probably healthy and okay for us to do? And we had to really confront, like, what is okay for us and not okay for us? Because, and in a way, it was as if realizing that you've been going to Disneyland your whole life and your pass is a park hopper pass. Like, it works not just for the Magic Kingdom, but it works for all the other theme parks around. Like, mm-hmm. there's more to explore here, and it's all included. Did you know this?
Yeah.
And so we.
Wow. How was your wife's reaction? Was she like, now, "Yeah, let's do this," or was she like, "No way! What are you talking about?"
My wife is amazing. She's an amazing woman, and she was so supportive. She really leaned into the discomfort with me. She's like, wow. "Yeah. I guess there's like, we need to know more about this." And she said, well, what do we do next? Like, well, I don't know, maybe books. So we've read marriage books before, married and whatever. When it came to sex, they kind of give a lot of metaphors, or they dance around the topic. Yeah. They explain like some things, but I was looking for how do you do X in bed? Like technique, like, because that was, I felt really missing from us. Like, I get the concept. I get that it's good, but like how to do things or how to enjoy it, how to have more fun with this. So that was like a big gap in our understanding. So we found some really helpful books and we started reading them together. I remember the first book came in the mail and it's called The Good Girl's Guide to Great Sex by Sheila Ray Gregor. Fantastic book for our level of maturity at the time. And the whole theme of the book is sex is good. Like, there's so much good that could come from this. Like, good girls do. Like, you just jump in. And so we read a few chapters together, and she was tired, so she fell asleep. And I stayed up till 4 a.m. and I finished the whole book in one sitting. I binge read that book. It was like, this is really good stuff. And anyway, we started to experience those things that my friend was experiencing. Like, our communication got better. We started parenting together better. We were having so much more fun together. All those fun, flirty, I guess you say Twitter-pated feelings we had back in the olden days when we were like, engaged or dating, those all came flooding back in full force. And we're just flirting all the time. We just can't get enough of each other.
Yeah. It's interesting real quick hearing you say that, because in my practice, when I work with couples, often when they come in, they're not having sex very often, and we have to work through resentments and build their friendship before they're open to having sex, or at least before the lower libido partner is open to having sex again. But once they do start having sex again, I've experienced the same thing where they almost regress back to middle schoolers, where they get giddy with each other and they're laughing and they're kind of poking each other in session. And that it happens after they start being sexually active again. It kind of brings back that, that childhood crush kind of feeling.
Right. Maybe there's a lot of dopamine. I don't know, whatever it is, but it's healthy because it's bonding for us. Yes. And wow. Like, that's when I realized, you know, there's more to be had here. There's a lot of people probably like me that are scared to turn to a resource. Sure. And one of the things that really helped us, because there is definitely an awkwardness to sex, period, because it's vulnerable.
Yeah.
But when we could ease into it with a game, like, and I'm a creative guy, so I'd come up with like really silly games we could play, like strip poker, or, you know, just variations of it. I can go on to more games we've created, but like when we can make sex kind of a game or foreplay, at least, like it's a game. We're just having fun. Like, we're just, there's just a wager with us. I don't know. When we could like let our hair down, not be so serious about it, and just kind of let things unfold and enjoy each other in the moment, mm-hmm. it just really opened up our ability to connect sexually too. So like, aha. So I have an app development background. I have a software development background. I mean, so I thought it would be so cool if we could put this all into an app form. So that's how the app Intimately Us app was born. But creating the app also pushed us further, because it pushed us to, in a way, be more public with our what we've learned. It forced us to kind of connect with other experts in the field and learn more from them. It helped us, made us like dig deeper, like what is good, helpful information. So they say the teacher learns the most. That's kind of how it felt, kind of making the app. Like, we learned a lot more about us and about what healthy sexuality is and how to make it fun by creating the app.
Sure. So what would you recommend to couples where the listeners right now, maybe they don't really like sex and they're maybe they have low libido, maybe mid libido, but they could kind of take it or leave it. And they're married to someone with a higher libido, but for them, they're like, you know, I don't see what the big deal is. You know, I'm not really up for it. What would you encourage to listeners who feel like that about sex?
So, if you're the one with the lower libido, there's so much I could say. I like your model of that cake, like address resentments, then work on, friendship and then sensual, then to sexual. Like, okay. So understand that model, work on that. Mm-hmm. And I also like what you've explained before. Some people, we go in all or none thinking, like it's either intercourse or nothing. Yeah. And it's like a light switch. It's either on or off. When you approach sex that way, it versus a dimmer switch where, okay. Or like if your house has stairs and your spouse with the higher libido is on the top stair, which represents sex, like intercourse, ready to go, all the way there. And you're more like on the first or second step. It does no good for the higher desire spouse to demand that you jump like in one bound to the top step, right? Mm-hmm. What's better if he can come down to your level, so to speak, and be at your level and then take one step at a time up the staircase? I think in general, the research shows women are just as sexual as men are, if not more. They have as much capacity for eroticism as men do, if not more. Like, women can have multiple orgasms easily. They're very sexual people. It's not that one sex is more evolved than the other in that sense. However, in the same research, they find that women just tend to be pickier as to what they find erotic. And I think there's some biological roots for that, because if I'm a woman and when I engage sexually with the man, he's in it, 5 minutes? But for me, I might be in it 9 months of pregnancy plus 18 years of childbearing. There's a lot more at stake. So I think it makes sense for women to be a lot pickier about who they let in.
Uh-huh. On that note, real quick, an analogy I've read before is a woman's sexuality is like a flock of geese, where all the geese have to be lined up moving in the right direction for it to be a go. And all those geese can represent different things. Like, they need to feel close with their partner. They need to feel relaxed. They need to feel comfortable. They need to feel rested. Like, all these things need to line up. And if one of those things, if one of the geese are trying to fly the opposite direction, the whole formation falls apart. And so, picking back off of what you're saying, as far as sexuality for females can be more complicated or more complex, but if we can think of it as a flock of geese, and if we get all those geese moving in the right direction, then it flows very beautifully and very powerfully. And so, tend to the geese. Don't invalidate the geese and dismiss the geese, or, you know, scoff at the need to tend to these geese. Tend to those geese, because by doing so, it's going to help the sexual experience be that much more beautiful and wonderful for the couple.
I like that. That's great. Tend to the geese.
Tend to the geese. Things.
Yes. So it makes sense that if you're the lower libido wife in this situation, you're going to be a little pickier. So you got to work with that. And sometimes by her paying attention to what arouses her or what she finds arousing or erotic might be really good to become more aware of. For example, it might be him like playing with the kids, like just having a great time. Like for him, it's like, really? That's sexy to you? She's like, oh yeah, that's really sexy to me. Like it might be something for him he might not comprehend or understand, but she's paying more attention to these sorts of things are things that I find. Because if I'm going to be intimate with this man, if I'm going to let him into me, you know, if, you know, literally speaking and metaphorically speaking, is this a man I can trust and be with? And can I open myself up to this person?
Yeah.
So working on that relationship aspect will help. Mm-hmm. And also, like back to that theme park analogy with the park pass or the park hopper pass, you don't always have to ride the Matterhorn. There's other great things you can do in sex, like a buffet.
Yeah.
It's not just one course. There's lots of different ways to enjoy sex. So if you can change your definition of sex from like strictly intercourse to something a little more open to other ways of connection that's also really pleasurable, then you'll find more ways you can still enjoy sexual connection that aren't just narrowly limited to what favors one spouse most of the time.
Yeah.
Are you enjoying the episode today, but you want to go even deeper? If so, join my community, Matrimony. Matrimony provides four things. First, you'll gain exclusive access to my deep dive where I unpack the weekly podcast in more detail. Second, you'll gain more access to me because I provide live Q&A once a week to answer all your questions. Third, you'll gain access to my best marriage resources to start building your relationship today. And fourth, you'll gain access to my community so you can learn these skills and tools with other couples. To learn more, click the link in the description.
Yeah, and this is where my listeners have heard me say this before, but I'll just repeat it again just because it's so relevant, that latest research I've read, around 70% of women do not orgasm through intercourse because there's not enough clitoral stimulation. Therefore, their pleasure goes down the moment intercourse begins. And for higher libido partners who are male, you know, that's usually when their arousal goes way up. So you have this massive mismatch where the man is thinking, all right, now we're having the fireworks. And the woman's thinking, oh, how long until this is over?
Right. So, which isn't helpful. That's not a sexy thought either.
Right. And so, yes, I love the focus being more on, you know, it doesn't have to be intercourse or nothing, because if it is, a lot of lower libido people will choose nothing. And you also don't want obligation sex. And so let's slow things down and really camp out in the foreplay arena, because for a lot of females, that is their main event.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So let's transition into tips to make things more fun, because I know that's the focus of the podcast today. So what would be like some top tips you'd recommend to add more fun into the bedroom?
Well, I've got three ideas. Okay. One is takes a little bit more preparation, but preparing ahead of time to do something that you kind of look forward to make sex fun. For example, one time I prepared a bunch of minute to win it games that we could play in the bedroom. A minute to win it game is like it's like a contest. You usually set a timer, and it's who can get the highest score or the lowest score in a certain amount of time. I got all my wife's bras and set them on the bed. And I also got oven mitts from the kitchen. And we set the timer, and wearing the oven mitts, you had to see how many bras you can unclasp in the time limit. and then we kept score, right? And then we moved on to the next event where I got a banana and an orange and tied a string to one end of the banana. And the other end of the string is tied around your waist. So the banana kind of dangles between your legs. And then you had to squat walk to like roll the orange from one side of the bedroom to the other side.
Wow.
I mean, we're just goofy. We're just laughing.
Yeah, so that's very hard. Creative.
We had a bunch of these things. I can't think of a time we laughed so hard in the bedroom. And it wasn't necessarily sex per se, although it ended that way. Uh-huh. But man, it was so fun. We're just generally being goofy,
just and just wacky.
Having a lot of fun.
Yeah. Right. Just like almost like part of the foreplay, just kind of wacky, fun games, it sounds like.
Right. Yeah. Another tip I have is I think novelty is important. If you plan to be married to the same person for a long time, I mean, who wants to eat the same meal over and over or wear the same clothes? I mean, some people even quit their job just because they're bored of it. Or get a new job. Right. So you got to keep things fresh in the bedroom. But there's different ways to achieve novelty. There's water skiing versus scuba diving. There's horizontal versus vertical, right? So a good example of horizontal novelty would be like lingerie, new sex toys, different sex positions, different locations. Those are all things that kind of broaden your novelty. But there's also vertical novelty. And this takes a little more effort, I think. But it's learning how to see the same person that you're married to and live with in a new light. So can you experience your spouse in a new way? For example, I heard about a man. They both work, man and woman, and she was giving a presentation at her work. And he had that day off for some reason and was able to attend her presentation. And he normally doesn't see her presentations. This is new to him. And to seeing her up there in front of this large crowd with her presentation and her professionalism, it's like he's seeing his wife in a new light. And all of a sudden, she was sexy to him all over again because you're seeing your spouse in a new way. Mm-hmm. And there's many things you can do to help see your spouse in a new way. Some couples intentionally create it with a little bit of role playing. And you don't have to take it to extremes if you're not comfortable with that. But just like, what would it be like if we had, you know, we went to a restaurant and you tried to pick me up? Like, I don't know. What would it be like if we took on different names or different roles? Like, and sometimes, like my wife and I did one where she was a realtor and I was trying to sell my house. So she came to rang the doorbell. And I hired her as a realtor, so to speak. It's her first time meeting. And my wife is usually really even keel, kind of a quiet personality. But her role, she assumed she had to be a really dominant like mm-hmm. person for you know, to get the business to sell the house, right? And just seeing my wife, like, and then you're like, it felt like middle school improv class for a little bit, like, mm-hmm. right? But man, it was so fun to see my spouse in a new persona. And that adds a lot of novelty.
Yeah. So just to clarify this, so role plays are something, you know, aren't talked about very often. Mm-hmm. But if you read articles here and there, they do recommend, you know, consider doing a role play with your partner to add novelty. Mm-hmm. So just to clarify, so in that example with your wife as a realtor, are you saying that you guys would like go behind a locked door in your bedroom and then you would take on these new roles? And then somehow with those new roles, it eventually leads to some type of sexual contact. Is that what you're saying?
In that instance, yes. It's like we're kids again playing cops and robbers in a way. So in that instance, our bedroom door in our home has another exit out the back. She got ready. And when she was done, she went out that bedroom exit around to the front door and rang the doorbell. So that's kind of logistically how we pulled that off. Sure. So, but yes, it was kind of a plan. But I think couples can just assume different roles, even in the bedroom. Like, okay, I'm usually more the dominant one, let me be more submissive. Or I'm usually the pursuer, let me be pursued. Mm-hmm. Let's try different roles. Let's try a role where I'm trying to romance you. And instead of give you an orgasm, I'm trying to extract an orgasm from you, which is a really different mindset. I'm not pushing, I'm pulling. And just the way you touch, the way you'd kiss, the way you interact is going to be more nurturing touch instead of, you know, different kind of touch you normally used to. There's just really subtle ways you can try on different personas, different ways that adds a lot of excitement, novelty, because you're experiencing the same person you're married to every day in a new light. Just adds a lot more depth to that relationship.
Okay. Yeah. So you mentioned there was three things.
Yes.
The novelty, I think, was the second. Is there a third?
Right. The third would be just making time for more, just making sex fun. Just make it a game. There's my app, Intimately Us, for example, is full of bedroom games. One game is, it's like a board game. You have a piece that moves around the board, and depending what square you land on, it gives you a different prompt of what to do. And it alternates, you know, like, you know, husband, wife, partner one, partner two in that relationship. And it gets spicier as it progresses. So that's like a fun game you can play. We have a game called Battlestrip. It's like Battleship, but instead of boats and carriers and ships on the grid, it's items of clothing. Mm-hmm. And so you're trying to sink each other's clothing. And as it sinks you, it's a stripping game. So you take it off. And it's fun. There's ideas for sex positions. There's ideas for brainstorming together. Like, can we create a sexy bucket list together? What would you put on this bucket list? Where would you like to do? How would you like to experience each other? And kind of work on ideas together. So the idea is to kind of build intimacy through your sexual relationship together in a really fun way. So make it a game. Make sex a game.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like these games are separate from point one, which is more just lighthearted games to have fun with each other.
Yes.
Like these games are more sexual focused. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the benefits? I mean, one thing I appreciate about what you're discussing is kind of lightening up, because sex can be such a heavy topic, such a serious topic, something people are uncomfortable even talking about. But what you're kind of bringing to this topic is lighten up. You know, let's have some fun. Let's kind of lighten this up. You know, what could help people even on a mindset level to consider lightening up more around the bedroom topic?
Yeah, I think the concept behind it is just observing your, if you have children, observing your own children and how they learn and how they play. Their minds are so much more open to learning when they're kind of in a state of play. And that's kind of where you want to, and as adults, a lot of us use our creative capacity of our brain for worry, and imagining the horrible things that could happen, not so much possibility of what could be. So it's basically using the same parts of your brain you use as a child. Can you apply it to the bedroom? Like, can I be in a state of openness and connection? So it's this shift. And I think we're far more open to connection. Those parts of the brain that are open, that we use for, like, you know, connecting with another person, when we're kind of in this relaxed state of play rather than something more serious or obligation or duty or all these other meaning frames that might interfere with real connection.
Yeah. And what would you recommend to the couple or the partner who's listening to this and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so exhausted by the end of the day. You know, I'm raising kids. I have a full-time job. You know, I'm exhausted by 8 o'clock. How am I going to have the energy to be creative in the bedroom? Like, what would you recommend to someone feeling like that?
You probably might be tired. Imagine a scenario where you're tired, like, oh, I'm too tired for sex. And then the doorbell rings. You go to the door and it's a long lost friend. You haven't seen them, you know, in years. They just happen to be in the neighborhood and they stop by. Would you have the energy to go talk to that friend for maybe an hour or two? Mm. You probably would. Why? Because you would find so much benefit from that moment of being with that person, right? Like, tiredness aside, I'm excited to be with this person. So a lot of couples complain about not having the energy for sex. And I do get it. My wife and I raised 6 kids, you know, our oldest one's a senior in high school and our youngest is kindergarten. So we get the whole range and we know what it's like to be tired. But a lot of times we use tiredness as an excuse to really engage when I do think there is more. In many instances, you do have more in the tank than you think you do. Mm-hmm. Another thing too is back to that dimmer switch analogy. I may not have time for a full-blown game, but how about, you know, some conversation starters? How about we just start some, like the Intimately Us app has that, but you can also Google, there's tons of like conversation starters for couples. Like, how, can we have at least maybe a more in-depth conversation? Can we cuddle? Can we watch a show that we like? Can we read from a book that we like? Can we just play a game of, I know, Skip-Bo, whatever. Are there things you can do still that may not necessarily be full-blown, high-energy, marathon sex, but something more connecting?
Yeah.
And often, if you challenge yourself and move in that direction, you will be surprised that you do have the energy for those things. Mm-hmm. And one more idea related to that. The sex has to be good. It does no good for a couple to push on if it's unwanted sexual touch, unwanted sexual connection. In addition to that, if there's this feeling of duty or obligation, like I need to do this so my spouse is happy or we won't get grumpy or so that I'm in good standing with whatever, or if those are the meaning frames operating, of you're not going to, it's like trying to drive a car with your foot, you know, pressed against the gas. You might move somewhere, but it'll come at a great cost. That's not the kind of sex you want to engage in. So can you make the sex so good that even if you are a little tired, you're like, I wouldn't turn that down. That is such great sex. I know I got to get up in 6 hours, but I'm not turning this down. I'd be a fool to say no to this kind of sex that's being offered to me. So make it good.
Yeah. And that's classical conditioning right there, where how we associate sex makes a big impact on how open we are to sex. And if you think of the analogy or the example of Pavlov and his dog, where he would feed his dog and then eventually the dog would salivate, he would ring the bell, feed the dog would salivate when he would eat. And eventually he could just ring the bell and the dog would hear that bell and start salivating because he associated it with eating. Mm-hmm. And so likewise in the bedroom. So this is very important, especially if you're a high libido partner and you want to have more sexual relations with your partner. It's essential to approach sexual contact in a way that's going to make them feel positive toward it, because only then are they going to be open to more sexual contact and want to engage more sexually. So one of the best questions you can ask your partner is, how do you feel about our sex life or our lack of sex life? What's made you feel that way? And what changes can I make to make it feel more positive and more pleasant and more connecting for you? Those kind of questions are so powerful and so data rich. Mm. And then take to heart what they say and make those changes. Because all of these ideas of making it fun in the bedroom and all that, it does come back to, well, if I don't associate sex with fun, if I don't associate it with anything for me, if I don't feel like our relationship is in a place to even support sex, I don't really care about having fun. I don't want to do any of that. Mm-hmm. But if you can work on like, well, how did we get here? First of all, if that is how the feelings are, and then how can we slowly start turning the ship where it's not this negative, it actually becomes a positive and relationship enhancing, then I'm going to start looking forward to it more and be more open and willing to engage sexually on some level, because I've reassociated to something good and something positive rather than something negative that I really don't care about.
Mm, that's really good.
Yeah. So that's really important. Okay, Dan, well, thanks again for joining us on the podcast. What's the best way for people to get in touch with you if they want to follow up for more ideas?
My website is getyourmarriageon.com. And I'm also on Instagram at getyourmarriageon.
Okay, perfect. Well, thanks again. I appreciate all your tips, all the ideas, and just the essence of lightening up in the bedroom, I think, is something all of us could benefit from. So I really appreciate your tips today.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Dr. Wyatt Show podcast. For my free resources, click the link in the description and be sure to send this podcast today to one other person that you know could benefit. And remember, your marriage is alive. So if you care for it and nurture it, it will grow. But if you deprive it and neglect it, it will wilt and die. The choice is up to you. Take care.